Psalm 23, this is God's holy word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then turning ahead in the New Testament to John chapter 10. This too is the word of God as we hear the word of Christ. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And again the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these. replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. That's as far as we'll read from God's holy and infallible word. Well, beloved, as we continue our consideration of Psalm 23 at our communion times together, it's a familiar psalm. You know that Psalm 23 begins with a beautiful declaration of who God is. And that implies who we are as the church, and it speaks of the intimate personal relationship that believers have with the triune God. Now, tonight we'll be considering just the first part of the first verse. Now, it may seem like a very small part of this psalm, but the more you think about just the first part of verse 1 and what is being said, the broader the truth becomes in our understanding and the deeper the blessing can be seen. You know, often at our house when we sit down for dinner, Tara will say, "Okay, please, let's just slow down and savor this meal." And in a sense, that's the way I think we should approach God's word very often, and this psalm in particular. Slow down and let's savor every part of this beautiful psalm. As the Spirit of God reveals to us glorious things of our Savior and the blessings that are for His people, we'll slow down to meditate and savor the spiritual nourishment that God has for His people. Well, how does the psalm begin? "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. First, we see, don't we, the identity of our Savior. We learn about who Jesus is for His people here in the first part of Psalm 23. You know, in a more urban culture, people may be unfamiliar with the person and work of a shepherd. It'd probably be good for all Christians to take sheep 4-H, because then we'd appreciate more this biblical metaphor and analogy. But David, boys and girls, who wrote this psalm, wasn't unfamiliar with shepherding and sheep. He was one. And so he takes that familiar occupation and by the Spirit describes the Lord Himself using that imagery. And as we'll see later on through the psalm, a shepherd is someone who cares for, feeds, provides for, and protects the flock under his care. And this psalm speaks of all those things. Shepherds and shepherding are seen throughout the Old Testament, especially. Do you remember who the first shepherd was in the Bible? Abel, one of the sons of Adam and Eve. Genesis 4:2, Eve gave birth to his brother Abel. Abel kept flocks. There is a shepherd right at the beginning of human history. By the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this is predominantly what God's people did. Shepherding. In Genesis 47, verse 3, Pharaoh asks the brothers of Joseph, "What is your occupation?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh, "just as our fathers were." Shepherding was the general occupation of the people of God. You remember Moses, that great leader and deliverer of God's people, went from being a priest in the courts, a prince in the courts of Egypt, to being a shepherd. And that's where we find him in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. shepherding. And as Moses speaks of Joshua, who would follow him in Numbers 27:16, he says, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." And so already you can see that this occupation of shepherding real sheep is being applied to those who would lead God's people. And all of the anointed leaders of the Old Testament were pictures and pointers to the fulfillment of the shepherd that we'll see in the New Testament. David, of course, is the great shepherd king. Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." It would be a shepherd king that Samuel would anoint. So here we have a very familiar metaphor for God and God's care of his people. In fact, shepherd was a title of Jehovah God, the covenant God. Again, as we considered this morning from Jacob's prophecy, this time not about Benjamin, but about Joseph, Genesis 49:24. "But his bow remained steady, his strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel." So there's a title of God. He is the shepherd of his people. And his graciousness toward the people of God is spoken of in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40:11. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Jeremiah 31, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, proclaim it in the distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and watch over his flock like a shepherd." And in Ezekiel 34:15, God says, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats." This is God's work. He is self-identifying as a shepherd, doing shepherding work. But God himself, through the prophet, points ahead to the New Testament and the New Covenant, Ezekiel 34:23, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David," so a descendant of David. "He will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Later on in Ezekiel 37, "My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. And they will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees." And you remember that prophecy from Micah that we often hear around Christmas time. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord." And in that whole context, you see, we come to Psalm 23, verse 1, in this profession of faith of David, the Lord. And that's all capital letters in the New International Version. That's Yahweh, the covenant God. "The Lord is my shepherd." What a glorious declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. Not a mere man like Moses or Joshua or David himself. The Lord is my shepherd. And as we heard this morning, that implies to us, doesn't it? That speaks to us, doesn't it, of a shepherd with infinite power, infinite wisdom, and infinite love. The Lord is my shepherd. And of course, we see what this means, don't we, in terms of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born into this world in the fullness of time. Psalm 23 says, Yahweh is my shepherd. This is what David says. And then Jesus comes in John chapter 10, and what does he say, boys and girls? I am the good shepherd. Did Jesus ever claim to be divine, to be God, the Son incarnate? He certainly did. And this is one of the places. He says to the Jews, I told you before who I am. I am the good shepherd. Jesus, boys and girls, is the God-man. He is fully God and fully man, and we see that evidence of his deity proclaimed here in Scripture in taking on that name shepherd in a singular fashion. I am the good shepherd. What a comfort it is to know that the shepherd of God's people is divine. Fully God and fully man. He's perfect in all his ways, even as he's perfect in his sympathy for his people. The shepherd is divine. And this is the great blessing and comfort which permeates everything else that Psalm 23 will declare. That whatever we see the shepherd doing in Psalm 23, it is done with divine perfection. All the shepherding that Jesus does for his people is perfect divine shepherding, and nothing less. Nothing less. Our shepherd is divine. That's the first glorious truth we see here in Psalm 23. But, you know, I always think that even here there is also perhaps a note of suffering in our shepherd. The shepherd is divine, but he would also be despised. You know, when Joseph was counseling his family when they were to speak to Pharaoh, do you remember what he says in Genesis 46, 34? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. There's the estimation of the world, let's say, of shepherds. Shepherd? Low of the low. Don't we even get that note when Samuel's asking Jesse, are these all your sons? Well, they're still the youngest, but he's just off taking care of the sheep. Who cares about him? You see, we are so close to this shepherd and the beauty of it that I think we miss maybe sometimes the despised aspect of it. When Jesus came, he didn't come as a powerful politician or a respected scholar or academic or a wealthy businessman. His birth was announced to lowly shepherds, and it was as a lowly shepherd that he came in great humility. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says in John 10:11, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Despised by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with suffering, who would even lay down his life for the sheep. Why was it necessary, boys and girls, for Jesus as our shepherd to lay down his life? Well, you see, this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, tells us about our Savior, but it also tells us about his people. as we think about it for a moment. If Jesus is the good shepherd, that means the church is a flock. Psalm 100, we are the flock under his care. This means that Christians are sheep. But what kind of sheep are we? Well, first, the Bible tells us we're lost sheep. Jeremiah 56, God says, my people have been lost sheep. In Isaiah 53, 6, you know, we all like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we think of Jesus, the Lord, as my shepherd, it reminds us that we are lost sheep. That's how he finds us. What do you think, Jesus said, if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Why, the Lord is my shepherd, because I'm a lost sheep. Why did Jesus come to seek and to save the lost as the good shepherd? Well, the Bible presents many reasons to us, God's glory being chief among them. But also because the Bible tells us his lost sheep are also his loved sheep. His lost sheep are also his loved sheep. You know, I was thinking of that little parable. It might have been a true story, I don't know, that Nathan told David in 2 Samuel 12 about that man who had nothing except a little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food and drank from his cup. It even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. The love of a shepherd for the sheep. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jesus is the good shepherd who came to seek and to save lost sheep because his lost sheep are loved sheep. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So you see, beloved, these opening words say something about God as our Savior and Jesus as our Savior, and they say something about the people of God. Glorious things. But these two great realities of who God is, who Jesus is, and who we are joined together in the first part of Psalm 23 with a very small word of tremendous significance. The Lord is my shepherd. That little word, my. Martin Luther said the gospel was bound up in personal pronouns. My shepherd. Here is a word that speaks to us of an intimate, personal knowledge and relationship. You know, often the Bible speaks in a corporate way. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And in our individualistic age, we need to stress the corporate nature of the church. We need to hear the me into we message. You know, that's prevalent in our culture now. Even people just in the secular culture are promoting this. Our neighbors down the road are promoting this with their children. Me into we. It's not all about you in this individualistic culture. What about other people? Be outward focused. Well, we need to hear that in the church as well. But here we also see the place of the my, the place of the individual. Because when it comes down to it, each one of us stands alone before God. One on one before the face of God. And there is this personal, individual emphasis throughout the psalm. Look how many times the psalmist speaks of me and my. It's very personal. And this is the declaration. Not just God is a shepherd, or even God is the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. Some kind of bare assent to the truth. The devil knows that. The devil knows that Jesus is the good shepherd. But what does David say? The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He knows me. Now, in a sense, boys and girls, Jesus knows everyone. He's God. But there is a gospel knowledge spoken of here, a gospel knowledge of love and fellowship. Many will say to me on that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. This intimate personal relationship, first of all, speaks that Jesus knows his people. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is so important because there's only one destiny for shepherdless sheep. Death will be made their shepherd, it says in Psalm 49. Like sheep, they're destined for the grave. If the Lord Jesus is not your shepherd, the only shepherd left, the Bible says, is death because of sin. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Saving sovereign grace from all eternity. And my sheep know me. You see how Jesus is speaking right out of Psalm 23, verse 1 there. The Lord is my shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He says, I know my sheep by name. What a blessing that is. You're not a nameless, faceless, identityless cog in the wheel of the church. Your shepherd knows your name. And what does that mean? That he can say, Jesse, William, Brenna. That he just knows your name? No. It means he knows everything about you. Everything. He knows what's going on in your mind, your thoughts. He knows your heart, the things that are going on there, maybe that no one else knows. He knows your life. He knows it. I know my sheep. It means, too, he knows my sin. He knows it. And yet he still loves his wandering sheep. He always forgives and brings them back. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, and they're getting to know him better and better and better. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. He knows who you are. And yet he laid down his life for you with all of the sin and all that was wrong in love. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Oh, the blessing of knowing the shepherd, the divine shepherd, Jesus. He's faithful. He won't run away. No matter what's happening, he won't run away. We wander off, but he never does. It's always there, faithful. No one can snatch us out of his hand. The God of sovereign, persevering grace. Beloved, does Jesus know you savingly? If he does, you will know him and you'll know his voice speaking in Holy Scripture, and you'll listen to him and you'll trust him and you'll follow him. Can you say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd? That's blessing and comfort and encouragement enough. The rest of the psalm will only continue to declare and describe what a blessing it is to be part of the flock of God. My parents taught me to pray. And one of the ways they did that was they taught me a prayer before I went to sleep at night. And they did it in Dutch. And so I used to say it in Dutch. I haven't said it for years. I could probably still say it. I bow my knees, I fold my hands, I close my eyes. Do you know that prayer in Dutch? Some of you may. But part of that prayer toward the end goes like this. May I also, in your big flock, be a little lamb. May I, in your big flock, be a little lamb. Well, in God's grace, may it be. So that with David and the rest of all God's people, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd.